The following special Easter season broadcast is from our vast Compassion Radio archives. Here's Dr. Norm Nelson.
Today is Friday. That is, it's Good Friday, according to the tradition of Christian history. This day recalls the Friday on which our Lord was put to death, executed as a criminal for the crime of sedition. He was hanged on a cross, a gibbet, a wooden stake in the ground. He suffered excruciating pain and complete humiliation. So then, in view of all this ugliness and suffering, why in God's name is this day we remember called Good Friday? What is it about the event we remember that makes this infamous occasion good?
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Hello, friends. Thanks for joining us for this power-packed radio ministry. Compassion Radio believes firmly in the transforming power of Jesus Christ. The life He gives is meant to be lived to the fullest. It's an exciting, passionate, meaningful, and adventurous life we're after. And the gospel delivers. It's good news in the truest sense. Well, today is Good Friday, and on the face of it, it's a name that defies all sensible logic. What can possibly be good about the darkest day in human history? The answer Norm offers will enlighten and surprise you. Here's Compassion Radio's signature group morning song to get things started.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the ancient of days,
almighty, victorious,
thy great name we praise. Through all life thou givest to both great and small, in all life thou livest the true life of all. Thy wisdom so boundless, thy mercy so free, eternal thy goodness, for naught changeth thee. Thou rulest in might, thy justice like mountains, thy soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and
Saul Bellow, who is one of the most famous and honored writers of this century, makes a statement in his novel Herzog that I think is worth thinking about. He says, "What is the philosophy of this present generation? Not God is dead. That period was passed long ago. Perhaps it should be stated like this, death is God. This generation thinks that nothing faithful, vulnerable, or fragile can be durable or have any true power. Death waits for these things as a cement floor waits for a dropping light bulb." Well, Saul Bellow is no biblical prophet, but I do think that he's right on target in his observation about this generation. Again, as Bellow puts it, "It thinks that nothing faithful, vulnerable, or fragile can be durable or have any true power." Well, that's the way things seem to be these days. A friend of mine, who's an attorney with a large Los Angeles law firm, told me some time ago that many of the lawyers in his firm are alcoholics. He said that the reason for this is the pressure these lawyers feel to appear competent and in control at all times of their personal and professional lives. He said that to admit that one is having problems of any kind, marital, financial, physical, or whatever, is to look weak and vulnerable. And vulnerable attorneys just don't make it in that highly competitive firm. So they pretend to be perfect, and they drink to get relief from the pressure of living under false pretenses. That's so sad. But you know, I've heard the same story from other people in other places and in other walks of life. The consensus today seems to be that power is hardness. Just take a look at today's fashion models, both male and female. They show us what is known as the power look. You've seen it. It displays the clenched jaw, the assertive stare, the defiant posture. These models appear as cold and as distant as mannequins in a store window, but they're much more forbidding. That's the image of power today. It's the look of death, impassive, unfeeling, and as hard as steel. Power is getting what you want. It's taking what you can get. It's being tough enough to survive, even at the expense of others, and without any guilt or regret. Now, in this sort of world, and to this sort of generation, Good Friday must seem awfully strange. After all, what can be so good about a vulnerable Savior, submissive, wounded, humiliated, and finally carried off dead to rot in a borrowed tomb? The Jesus of Good Friday symbolizes something that this generation despises. But listen to what Philippians chapter 2 says about Jesus. Christ Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine somebody like this, that is a humble person, a servant person, an obedient person, being the cover story role model for our magazines with names like Self and Success and Vanity Fair? Think about it. According to the values of our time, what's so good about things like servanthood and obedience and humbling oneself and being obedient and making oneself of no reputation at all? Actually, these are all behaviors from which our contemporary generation seeks to be cured on the couches of its therapists. What can possibly be so good about Good Friday and the one who sacrificed himself on this day 2,000 years ago? What can possibly be so good about Good Friday and the one who sacrificed himself on this day 2,000 years ago? Well, my friend, the answer is there is nothing good about this day unless the one who humbled himself and who died upon the cross was actually resurrected from the dead and freed from the captivity of his tomb. You know, the entire scenario of crucifixion is either a tragic defeat or a cruel farce if Jesus did not come out of his tomb alive. The Apostle Paul says precisely this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just listen to his words. He writes, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Well, that's strong language, isn't it? But it's also brutally honest. Because, you see, the truth is, by itself, Good Friday is not good. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then this day, with its cross and its crucifixion and its shedding of blood for the removal of sin and the redemption of sinners, is an absolute total disaster. And it's an embarrassment. If Jesus did not burst out of that vault of rock alive, then, as Saul Bellow said, death is God. In other words, death has the last word. The powers of darkness are in complete charge of things. Nothing faithful, vulnerable, or fragile can have any true power. It means that the Pontius Pilates of this world, with their lack of principle and their commitment to expediency, are really in the driver's seat. If Jesus was really not raised, then his own last words on the cross are the epitaph of the Christian movement and of the gospel. It is finished. In other words, it's over with. It's history. If Christ was not raised from the dead, if he was not resurrected, then the good news is a fraud. Our faith is a hoax, and our hope of forgiveness and freedom and eternal fulfillment are absolutely done for. Good Friday is clearly not good. So, what is it that makes Good Friday good? Well, it's the reality of the resurrection. As the Apostle Paul puts it, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And then he concludes with these words, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. Now, that's a rather strange phrase, isn't it? He has put all things under his feet. But you know, the image here is clearly one of domination. I like the way one contemporary translation puts this passage. It goes like this. He, that is Christ, won't let up until the last enemy is down. And the very last enemy is death. He laid them low, one and all. He walked all over them. I like that. Do you get the picture here? Death, which is the last enemy to oppose the Lord's kingly rule and control, is defeated. And it suffers the same defeat and domination as everything else that Christ has defeated. Namely, he tramples it down. He walks all over it. It's defeated. It's done for. And it is utterly humiliated. That is why Good Friday is good. Now, by the way, I've discovered that sometimes it's worthwhile to re-examine familiar words. And so I turned to my dictionary, and I read the several definitions that are given there for the word good. And I found something interesting. Under the listing of the phrase, to make good, I read these definitions. To give or to do something as a substitute for. To repay or replace. To fulfill. Now, it suddenly occurred to me, having read those definitions, that the resurrection makes good this otherwise disastrous day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes Good Friday good because when Christ walked out of that tomb, his substitutional death and sacrifice for us fulfilled God's redemptive plan and purpose. Remember now, Paul said that apart from the resurrection, our faith is futile, and we're still in our sins. The cross is nothing without the empty tomb. Friday is not good without Easter Sunday. The crucifixion is incomplete without the resurrection. We are saved, we have eternal hope, and we have abundant life. We are forgiven and empowered only because Christ's resurrection completed and fulfilled and made good the tragic events that took place on Friday. In other words, Good Friday is good because the resurrection makes it good.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Norm will be back with more on the story in just a moment.
And this month, we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if He's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. If you can start or continue this year as a Vision Team monthly partner of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a special inspiring gift, a new CD from the group Selah entitled Unbreakable. This powerful new collection is by one of Christian music's most inspiring gospel trios. They have deep mission roots, and it shows in all they do. Again, this is a special gift for new and returning Compassion Radio Vision Team sustaining partners. Just mention when you call, and we'll send it to you in CD or digital format. Your choice. For a one-time love gift of $15 or more, we also have another wonderful premium. It's a Mother's Day-themed devotional booklet. Get one for yourself and one for your mom, or your daughter and daughter-in-law, too. Friends, the time is right, and the field is ripe.
Your phone call, letter, or visit to our website will make all the difference this month. Contact us today. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you today. And now here's Norm with part two of the special Good Friday broadcast.
Now it's interesting. In some churches on Good Friday, the cross is draped with a black cloth. Now, believe me, I'm not trying to be critical here. But to be honest with you, I just can't drape this day in black and engage in the pretense of mourning. And the reason for that is that I can only see this day, Good Friday, through the bright light of Easter's victory. After all, it is Good Friday. So why decorate it with black? Death, Paul says, is swallowed up in victory. So I feel like walking through the cemeteries of the saints and singing doxologies rather than dirges. I feel like draping the cross in bright colors of celebration rather than in black. I feel more like glorying in this day rather than in indulging in glumness. It's Good Friday, my friend, a day not of defeat but of triumph. It's a day which points us to life rather than to death. It's a day when power is revealed not in selfishness but in sacrifice. Malcolm Muggeridge, that great British writer, concludes his wonderful book on Jesus with these words, and I'm quoting, "If the story of Jesus had ended on Golgotha, it would indeed be the story of a man who died. But, as 2,000 years later, the man's promise, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, still holds. It is actually the story of a man who lives." Oh, my friend, Christ lives. His power is alive for you and for me. Now, it occurred to me today that in some places where these broadcasts are being heard around the world, things are not, at least from a human point of view, all that good. For example, in Belize, in Central America, there's a continuing border dispute with the neighboring country of Guatemala. Things have been tense along that border for many years. Then in the former Soviet Union state of Moldova, there are many orphaned children who are suffering in orphanages with horrendous conditions. In the southern Philippine Islands, there are violent and hostile confrontations between the majority Muslim population and Christians who are seeking to be true to Jesus Christ. In North American cities, there are serious racial problems. In many American homes, there's child abuse and marital conflict and family discord. And almost everywhere we turn today, people are struggling to cope with loneliness and depression and disappointment over their lives. There's a whole lot about this Friday that doesn't seem to be very good. But listen, what seems to be and what actually is are really not the same. Because you see, the great truth about this day, in fact, the most important thing to know about this day, is that it is a good day. In fact, it's the best day. And that's because whatever the circumstances of your life may be, Christ is alive. He died to free you from your sin. He rose to conquer everything that can destroy His purpose for your life. And He's alive to empower you to live life at its best, which is life forever in fellowship with Him. It's Good Friday, my friend. So live it in the joy of His victory. He's alive, and by His grace, this day can be for you a truly Good Friday. Now, on this very special day, I'd like to invite you to join with me in prayer that God will make the good things, the good benefits of His grace, come alive in your heart and in your life as you enter into the experience of this Easter weekend. Let's pray together. Our Father, there's so much in the world around us today, and even within ourselves, that would rob us of the joy that this Easter season promises to us. Death stalks our communities in so many ways, and there are so many things that try to deaden our experience of Christ's hope and love and power in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray right now that wherever the joy and vitality of living have disappeared in our experience, that wherever we feel defeated or discouraged today, that your resurrection power will take root in us and bring the fullness of your life to us. Lord God, take away the hurts that make us bitter. Take away the doubts that make us faithless. And remove the sins that make us unclean and unfit for your service. Lord, we yield ourselves to your direction today so that we may walk into the future with confidence and accomplish what you have for us to do. We thank you now for making us alive in Jesus Christ. We thank you that this is Good Friday. And we thank you most of all for loving us.
Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son,
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. As you know, the cost of airtime is staggering and becomes more so each year. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our Compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need.
You know, friend, it's easy to overlook the significance of every effort we make in faithful service to God. Only He knows the total impact of our seemingly small contributions to His kingdom. Each dollar contributed to Compassion Radio from you goes directly toward ministering the gospel and compassion of Christ to tens of thousands around the world. As a result of your financial support, this ministry is able to provide your community with relevant Christian information you won't hear elsewhere. Your contribution to this ministry will be an investment in the lives of people. People who will be able to reap the benefits for eternity. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful, blessed day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.